Most of the world's industrial nations have embarked on a huge experiment. They're trying to use less coal and less oil and less natural gas. Those fossil fuels produce carbon dioxide, which warms the atmosphere and changes the Earth's climate. But a lot of carbon dioxide actually comes from forests when they're cut down and burned to make way for crops or pasture. So now there is a movement to get countries with big forests to slow the rate of cutting by paying them to do it. Here's NPR's Christopher Joyce.
When you burn a forest to make room for, say, a soybean field or a cattle pasture, the carbon in those trees goes up into the atmosphere as carbon dioxide. That's the leading greenhouse gas. In fact, burning forests creates a huge pulse of CO2. Here's Peter Frumhoff with the advocacy group, the Union of Concerned Scientists.
Every year in tropical countries, we lose about an area of forest about the size of New York State. The sum total of those clearings are that it contributes about 20% of the total emissions of heat-trapping gases into the atmosphere that cause global warming.
Yes, that's right. About one-fifth of all greenhouse gases comes from deforestation. Now, the international treaty that limits greenhouse gases, the Kyoto Protocol, doesn't do anything directly about deforestation. It's aimed at factories and power plants in industrialized countries. So here's the new idea, first floated by developing countries. Why not pay us to slow down our deforestation? You can count up the carbon that's kept earthbound as a result, and it can be sold as a carbon credit to anyone who wants to offset their own CO2 emissions. It's a controversial idea and the subject of intense debate recently in Bonn, Germany, home base for the United Nations climate bureaucracy. As is the norm for climate meetings, Greenpeace activists were there with banners and rock and roll and activist Stephanie Tunmore to urge the delegates on.
We've selected a few song titles with messages in them, such as "That Don't Impress Me Much." And we're playing them constantly to let delegates know and asking them, change your tune, please, save the climate.
But there hasn't been much progress, up until now anyway. One problem has been how to tell how much carbon goes in and out of a forest. Martin Enderlin was at the Bonn meeting. He's with a carbon trading company called EcoSecurities.
Reducing greenhouse gas emissions from an electricity power plant, this is something which is fairly easy to be measured. As soon as you get to these forests and avoid deforestation, you can have difficulties to measure what are the emissions, because even they can absorb CO2, but in other conditions they actually can emit.
There are other obstacles. If a company pays, say, the Indonesian government to avoid deforestation in some remote tropical forest, how will they know the forest won't get cut down 20 years later? Or if one tract of forest is saved, farmers could just go cut another one somewhere else, meaning no real carbon savings for the atmosphere. But Bernard Schlamadinger, a forestry expert with an Austrian research group called Joanneum, says those arguments don't wash anymore. For one thing, satellites can now see everywhere.
So that you could actually not only detect deforestation, but detect it when it happens, so you could do something against it. The other thing is we have learned more about how to convert information on tree diameter into carbon stored in the trees.
Tropical countries like the idea of getting paid for the carbon content of their forests. One group that has emerged to represent these countries is the Coalition for Rainforest Nations. It's led by Kevin Conrad, a young business school graduate born and raised in Papua New Guinea.
What was driving deforestation was a global market for cows, okay, or a global market for coffee, okay? And then what was being used to fight against that was some moral obligation that there was biodiversity there and that had some value, but no one was really valuing it. Nobody could compete head-to-head with the money a country was making elsewhere. So carbon was the first time we had a chance, a global market that could compete head-to-head with these other markets.
In essence, forests would be viewed as carbon storehouses. Climate negotiators are still arguing over how to make all this work. Should there be an open carbon market where credits for saving forests are bought and sold like pork bellies, or an international bank funded by wealthy nations to pay for saved forests? For its part, the U.S. government is withholding its opinion, a position some environmental groups find frustrating. But Peter Frumhoff from the Union of Concerned Scientists says a forestry scheme won't work if it appears to be one-sided.
It needs to be done in a way that's not the North stepping up to them and saying you must, for reasons of things that we're concerned about, slow your deforestation.
Supporters of this avoided deforestation idea also say it could move developing countries from spectators in the effort to slow climate change to first-string players. Christopher Joyce, NPR News.